But yeah, it's been a weird couple days, hasn't it? I don't know if y'all knew that, but it's been weird. It's just the unknown. As many of y'all know, we were preparing to leave for a trip to Haiti tomorrow, and with all the current situation with the travel and travel bans and coronaviruses and all that, we decided to postpone the trip last night. But it's amazing how fast things change, because on Tuesday, I talked to somebody that was associated with an airline, and I asked him, I said, you know, we're worried about going to Haiti because we don't want to get trapped there. We don't want to get stuck there. We don't want to be quarantined in New York City on the way back in case they shut that airport down and all this stuff. And this person who worked at the airline airport, he says, well, I don't think you have anything to worry about that, because really for something to go to where they would start putting restrictions on flights, it would have to increase exponentially over the next 3 or 4 weeks before they would do that. And I'm like, okay, we're going. And it wasn't 24 hours later that they literally shut down all travel to Europe. And then, as all y'all know, just the craziness to begin to come down from where y'all got an extra week of spring break. Amen. That's awesome. You don't have to go back to class. Amen. But you have to do all your homework online and have proctors and all that stuff. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But just all the craziness. I mean, just really just craziness and the unknown. And the unknown. And as I was processing it with my friends, the unknown that we're going through, one of my friends texted me this. He said, we try to keep everything in control for our kids, and then hysteria hits and we realize we have no control. And he was mourning that, and I replied to him. I said, well, that's a good lesson, because we're really never in control. We really never have it under control. At any time, we are a moment away from the unknown. We're a moment away from something that has been thrust in our life that we hadn't seen before. We are constantly in that. I think in the way that we live right now, in the day and age in which we live right now, where we see things coming and we have the internet and we know what's happening. I mean, we literally knew today seconds after decisions were made, when years ago it would have taken weeks to know when decisions were made. And we have all this technology to where we know where so much is going on. When something happens that we're uncertain about, it begins to make us nervous and begins to make it upset. But what I want you to learn from this, and y'all shouldn't be stressed out about this. Y'all shouldn't be like, oh, you know, y'all are young, y'all are healthy. This virus isn't going to impact y'all that much. I mean, it's really not. Y'all's biggest role is to be good members of a community that is concerned about people that it could impact, right? You know, my parents are 82 and 79 years old, and I need to be really careful around them while this is going on. And while it probably won't impact me at all, there are people in my community that I love dearly that I have to take care of and to be careful for them. And that's the whole idea behind this. But there's this uncertainty on, you know, we're going to have to go back to school, or we're going to graduate, and, you know, all this stuff. But we learn from when we go through uncertainty. You know, I was thinking of some of the things that happened in my life that I remember clearly that I learned from. You know, I vividly remember walking home from elementary school and walking up to a friend of mine's house, and his mom rushes out of the door with an apron on, and she yells, "President Reagan just got shot." And I remember going in and sitting in front of that little TV that you had to change with a knob. You didn't have a controller. And I remember sitting there watching that and just the uncertainty of whether the president was going to make it. He just was shot. Fast forward 8 or 9 years, and I remember sitting in my junior history class when all of a sudden my history teacher walks in and she's crying. And I'm like, what happened? And she says the space shuttle just blew up. And there were people that were watching the space shuttle go up. And there was somebody from Amarillo, Texas, where I grew up. Somebody from Amarillo, Texas that went to that high school that was on that when it blew up. And there was this sense of uncertainty. And then fast forward to 2001, you know, September 11th, 2001. And I remember walking through the seminary I was at as we watched the towers fall down after 9/11 and the uncertainty that was there. There's always been uncertainty of what's going to happen, what's the next. But it's in those moments of uncertainty that we begin to put our faith and our trust, not in what the world gives us and what the country gives us or what our family gives us, but we begin to put our faith and trust in what God gives us and the security that He gives us for the eternal, right? Because there are things that are bigger than the here and now. There are things that are grander and greater than the current moment. And that's what we put our faith and trust in. And then we also trust that in the midst of the here and now, the one that designed us and breathed life into us, He is with us and desires to comfort us and to guide us in the midst of that. We learn from what we've gone through. My grandmother, I did my grandmother's funeral a week or so before she turned 97 years old. And I mean, she was sharp as a tack right up until about, you know, 96. And then that last year was kind of tough, but man, she was sharp as a tack up until her 96th birthday. And I would go in and talk to her, and she would, you know, critique Colt McCoy's quarterback play at the University of Texas and tell me why he wasn't doing good and that he needs to stay in the pocket longer and he runs too much. And this was from my 96-year-old grandmother. But I'd ask her about life, and I'd ask her about the things that she learned. And there was a time in her life, she lived through the Great Depression. She was born in 1913. And she lived through the Great Depression, and she would tell me stories about growing up and the fact that they would go to the cupboard and they literally would only have this much flour left in the pan. And there was one chicken left in the barn, and the uncertainty of what that looked like and what her future looked like. But she learned from that. She learned to trust and have faith. And her faith was unbelievably strong because she trusted God in a time of uncertainty. You know? And she would tell me these stories of how that time in the Depression molded her into who she was. You would walk into her closet and she would have every single bread sack that she had gotten over the last year folded up and stored in case she ever needed it, because she knew what it was like to go without. And you know, and I knew my grandmother's mom, and she died when she was about 100. She was, get this, y'all have probably never met anybody that has been and was born in the 1800s, but this lady was born in 1883. She was born in 1883. Our country was just a little over 100 years old. And I remember going and talking to her in her nursing home. And we'd take her candy, and we'd sneak her candy, and we were her favorite and all that. I remember going in there, and we would ask her questions. That's one thing, having a mom as a school teacher, they're wonderful at ask questions, learn. Learn about your parents' past. Learn about your grandparents' past. Learn about your great-grandmother's past. And I remember we would ask her questions, and one day she gave us this. It was like a knife that had a knife, and it had a spoon that would come out on one side, and it would have a fork that came out on the other side. You know, and y'all probably all seen this, like a Swiss Army knife. But this was one that her dad carried in the Civil War, and that he carried it with him through the entire battle of the Civil War. And I remember he gave it to me. She gave it to me and said, here, I want you to have this. Your great-great-grandfather carried this through the Civil War. And she said, you know, I remember my mom telling this story time and time again about the day that my great-great-grandfather came home from the Civil War. She said, I remember I was out in front. They lived in Mississippi at the time before they moved to Texas. They lived in Mississippi. I was out in the front of the house hoeing. I was hoeing, and I look down the road, and I see a man on a crutch hobbling towards me. And I knew in my heart of hearts that it was my husband. And I dropped my hoe, and I ran down the road, and I met my husband. And he was home. He was gone for over 3 years before he came home. It was in the middle of the Civil War. We don't know. I mean, how many people died in the Civil War, right? A lot. For 3 years, every day, she got up. She went out. She hoed. She waited. She trusted. She held on. You know, you learn stuff. What you learn in the uncertainty forms you for the rest of your life. So I encourage you, in this moment of, I don't know what's going to go on. I don't know if, unfortunately, we know everything that's going to go on in sports for the next 6 months. And that's terrifying and horrible. Hey, but still Tech, you know, even next year we can say, yeah, the last national championship, we got second. So we won the last national championship in track. So we always got that to go on. But so we got that. We're 2 years running national champ in track. So that's good. But in this, and y'all's uncertainty isn't near the uncertainty because we know what's going on the second it happens. My great-great-grandmother didn't have that. She didn't know what was going on in the war, much less if her husband was coming home. But it's in that uncertainty. It's in the waiting. I love that we played that song. Just that it's in the waiting that God speaks to us and molds us and makes us. And when our relationship grows with him. This first verse, I got two verses, and we'll shut this down pretty quick, but I got two verses. This is John 14, 27. It says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. The peace I give you, not the peace that the world gives you, but my peace that I give you. This peace, the Greek word for peace is pax. And there was a big saying going on back then. It was pax romana, the peace of Rome. And what they would do is they would go around and they would declare the pax romana to the people that were in the Roman Empire. And essentially it was, this is what your empire has done for you. These are the battles that we have accomplished for you. These are the triumphs that we have made. This is what you have gained because of what your nation has done for you and what we have supplied for you. And Jesus is saying right here, he says, I'm not giving you the peace that comes from what your nation or what the world or what you have or what you live. I'm giving you a peace that is greater than that, a peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace of heart and mind. And I'm fully convinced of this. This side of being in eternity with heaven, the greatest gift that I have in my relationship with Christ is peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding, that for some reason when my world is falling apart, when things are crazy, there is a peace that I have because of the goodness and the hope and the relationship and the love that I have through my relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The peace that he gives us, it's greater than what the world can give. It's something more eternal. It's more grand. And that's the peace that it gives you. And it's in moments of uncertainty, whether it be hoeing in the yard or your phone literally blowing up for an hour after, you know, for minute after minute after craziness. God says, I give you peace in the midst of this. The next verse is in 2 Timothy 1:7, and Dallas and I were talking about this one yesterday, but it's, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. You know, God has not given us a spirit. God has not emboldened us with something that is afraid and timid, but he gives us power and love and self-discipline. He gives us the ability to make it through the uncertainty, the ability to love in the midst of the uncertainty and the brokenness, and the self-discipline to continue to trust and grow in Him as He is working in and through us. You know, greater is He that is in me that is in the world. You know, so I invite y'all at this time of the craziness that the world is, take a step back, take a breath, enjoy your 2-week spring break, and say, God, what are you trying to teach me and how I can trust you more? Lord, how can you flood my life with the peace in the midst of the uncertainty? Lord, I know that I shouldn't be afraid or timid or uncertain about the things that are going on. How can I tie in to the power and the love and the self-discipline that you have for me? You know, that's our prayer for y'all. Our prayer for y'all at this time is that y'all prosper no matter what, that y'all grow, and that your love for Christ grows. You know, I heard somebody say before this, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with spring break. I might read the Bible all the way through. Trey, I think that's a good idea. Why don't you just go ahead and read the Bible all the way? He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I might read the Bible all the way through. So I'm going to ask him after your 2 weeks of spring break if he read the Bible all the way through. But see what you can do to use this time. We're going to worship a little bit more. But to be honest with you, this probably is the last time that we gather this semester. You know, we're going to be following the same schedule as Texas Tech. And if they do stuff online, we're going to do stuff online. If they gather, we'll gather. But until y'all go back to class, we're not going to have Underground. We're not going to have Freshly. We're not going to have Hardcore BS. And it's not that we don't love you and we don't want to be with you. It's that we have to fall in line with what the people at Texas Tech thinks is best for y'all. I don't want to be a rebel and go against what President Shuvenick says, you know. So, I don't know how to say his name. But just know that our prayer for y'all the rest of this semester, our prayer for y'all for the rest of your life, is that you grow to know the love and peace and power that we have through Christ in the midst of the uncertainty that is to come. You know, it can change in a moment, as we found out over the last 24 hours. But don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Everything's going to be okay. We're going to worship a little more, then Zach's going to come up and call us out. You good?